Welcome. Really good to have everyone here. We're going to start with a couple of readings. The first one you're going to be very familiar with, I suspect, it comes from Isaiah. It's chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. And as I normally do, I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, from the Update Edition. I really think that it's one of the more sophisticated and well done interpretations of the original text. Hear now these words. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them, not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. And if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and you satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a well-watered garden. Like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. May we add blessing and understanding to the meaning of these words. I also want to read an excerpt from a book written by Maria W. Stewart. Anyone familiar with that name? Maria W. Stewart. African-American teacher. She was the first African-American woman to stand up and speak out in the U.S. About slavery back in the early 1800s. This is from a book she wrote, an address delivered at the African Masonic Hall, written in 1833. This is a lady that, I'm going to give you her name again. She is Moore. You really, please look her up and learn more about her. Maria W. Stewart, pretty impressive person. Activist with Harvard, I believe, as well. It is, she says, it is not the color of the skin that makes the man or woman, but the principle formed in the soul. And when I consider how our people have been crushed beneath the hand of oppression, stripped of the rights and privileges of citizens, and deprived of the advantages of education, I feel a sense of grief too deep for utterance. Yet I believe that God has not left us comfortless. I believe that the bonds of injustice will be broken, and that righteousness, peace, and love shall yet prevail. But these blessings will not come without our continual striving. We must plead our own cause, and we must lift as we climb, until every chain is loosened and every yoke destroyed.
So I prepared this for Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, I should have said it at the beginning.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting our Martin Luther King program that we put together.
Yeah, but it's Black History Month, and it's never the wrong Sunday to address Martin Luther King. Right. Let us carry our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth, ties of hope and love. sister and brotherhood. That we are proud together in our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are proud together by the task that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound and we are bound. It's feeling like the clenching of a fist. There is a hunger in the center of the chest. There is a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest. Shed a little light, oh Lord, so that we can see. Shed a little light, oh Lord. Stand it on up, oh Lord. Wanna walk it on down. Shed a little light, oh Lord. Can't get no light from the dollar bill. Don't give me no light from a TV screen. When I look in my eyes, I wanna drink my fill from the well on the hill. Shed a little light, oh Lord, so that we can see. Just a little light, oh Lord. Send it on up, oh Lord. Wanna walk it on down. Shed a little light, oh Lord. Shed a little light, oh Lord. There's a feeling like the clenching of a fist. There's a hunger in the center of the chest. There's a passage through the darkness and the mist. But the body sleeps, the heart will never rest. Let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women on the earth. Ties of hope and love, sister and brother.
Thank you for that. I do love that song. My message today is entitled, The Monsters We Must Name. There are moments in history when the truth stops like knocking politely and just sort of walks right in the door. The prophets called those moments awakenings. More recently, some would call them revelations. Dr. King called them crisis because he knew that when love breaks into like public life, it rarely arrives quietly. In 1967, Dr. King warned the nation of what he called a three-headed monster. He named it racism, poverty, and militarism. He said that these forces, they don't merely kind of linger in the shadows. They actually organize our society. They create the conditions in which some lives are valued and other lives are tolerated and still others are targeted. And with a clarity that sort of still stings a little bit, he says, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Spiritual death, not political failure. Spiritual death. That's the language of a prophet. That's the language of someone who loves their country enough to tell the truth about it. Now, today, those giant triplets still roam through our world. Racism continues to mutate into new policies, new talking points, new acceptable ways to exclude, including relentless targeting of the LGBTQ plus communities who get pushed outside of the circle of belonging all the time. Poverty continues as well. It continues to be legislated into existence. Militarism continues to be baptized as patriotism. Folks, I am here to tell you that three-headed monster Dr. King talked about did not disappear. If anything, it's grown new heads. So, today we turn to Isaiah 58, a text that reads like it might have been written exactly for this moment. Prophet, he looks at a community that is proud of its religious rituals, but blind to public injustices. They fast, but they exploit workers. They bow, but they break bruised lives. They sing, but they ignore the hungry. And then the prophet delivers a word to them that is, well, it's not gentle. He says, "Is not this the fast I choose to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" Break every yoke. Not the yokes that fit your political preferences, not the yokes that inconvenience the people you already dislike. Every yoke. So Isaiah is telling the people that if you want to know whether your faith has a pulse, a livelihood, a life, look at what it does for the people most harmed by the world that you live in. King echoed this point in his own way when he said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And he didn't mean that as some kind of poetic slogan. He meant it as a diagnosis. Oppression spreads. If you ignore it in one place, you will find it growing in another. Now, before we go any further, again, my introverts, I love you. I do. We're going to do a little thing here. It won't hurt too much, I promise. I'm going to ask you to turn to one or two people near you. And I'm going to give you three quotes that I'm going to ask you to choose from. I want you to choose the one quote that hits the closest home for you today and share why it resonates with you. And I'm going to ask you each to only take about a minute a person to talk about this. So here are my three quotes. Pick one of these. "Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of injustice?" Number two, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And number three, "A nation that spends more on war than on its people is approaching spiritual death." And if you're online, we're going to go a little bit different. I want you to tell us in the comments which of the three heads of that monster Dr. King talked about feel the loudest of where you are: racism, poverty, militarism. And if you're up for it, tell us why as well. All right, I'm going to ask you to go ahead, take a minute each, and as you're doing that, I'm going to read back through these three. "Is not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of injustice. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And a nation that spends more time on war than on its people is approaching spiritual death." Yeah. take a few minutes, and I'll call you back when about 3 minutes have passed.
We don't have anything for
start wrapping up this conversation.
Yeah, it's a serious
challenge. All right, I appreciate y'all taking my time to do that and start thinking through those quotes and talking about where we are in life today. I think you probably in that conversation can see that Isaiah's vision that we read is painfully practical for today. And when we hold it next to our current moments, the text almost preaches itself, honestly. Because when Isaiah says, break every yoke, the yokes that we were all probably talking about, he is speaking into a world where new yokes are being created every single day. Now, when we see these yokes in the militarization of ICE, what was once a civil immigration agency now shows up in armored vehicles with officers dressed in tactical gear rather than clothing of public servants. We see the yokes when enforcement turns into execution, when citizens are shot during raids that were never designed to keep families safe. When an agency looks more like a military unit than a public service, the message becomes clear. Some communities, is what they're telling us, some communities are not meant to feel protected, they are meant to feel controlled. Isaiah's words echo again when we look at the policies that reinforce poverty. Programs like SNAP are experiencing cuts while the cost of living rises faster than any family's wages are. Medicaid expansion is blocked in states where people need health care the very most. Cities have been criminalizing homelessness, bulldozing encampments as if humans were nothing more than debris. Wages stay stagnant while corporate profits rise. Child care becomes unaffordable for working families, but budgets for weapon systems, well, they grow without any hesitation. Those yokes, new ones are coming every day. Every one of these decisions tightens the bonds of injustice. Every one of them reinforces a system where the poor are punished for being poor. Poverty is not a personal failure, y'all. It is a predictable outcome of a society that invests in weapons more than in children. Invest in policing people more than in health care for people. In punishing more than in dignity. If King were preaching today, I believe that he would say exactly that. He would point to the contradiction between a nation with a record military spending and communities where people ration insulin just to stay alive. He would say that a moral people cannot call themselves moral when children go hungry while missiles are upgraded. He would say that we cannot claim to value life while building systems that make survival a privilege. And he would not hesitate to include LGBTQ plus lives in the analysis of racism. He understood that oppression is braided together. He would see the wave of anti-trans laws and call them what they are, a new form of state-sponsored shame. A new way of declaring some lives unworthy. A new head on the monster of racism, because every system that draws a line around who counts, those systems end up suppressing the same communities that have always carried the cost. Isaiah tells us something else. When people commit to justice, healing begins. See, the text says, your healing shall spring up quickly. Your healing shall spring up quickly. This is sort of a strange promise here. You would think that justice heals the ones that you help. Isaiah says that justice heals the ones who choose it. It is the oppressed who are liberated, but it is the liberators who are made whole in choosing it. King said it like this, we are caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality. Liberation, y'all, is mutual. Either all of us get free or none of us get free. And that brings us to another truth. The three-headed monster is not three separate problems. Racism creates hierarchies. Poverty exploits them. Militarism enforces them. Let me say that again. Racism creates hierarchies. Poverty exploits them. Militarism enforces them. You cannot address one without confronting the others as well. Some people will say, well, why bring LGBTQ plus rights into the conversation about race? Well, Isaiah would reply, because the fast God chooses is to break every yoke, not just the yokes you feel comfortable naming. Now, some people are going to say, why bring economic justice into the church? Dr. King would reply, because poverty is not an accident, it is a policy choice. And some people will say, why talk about militarism here? And the prophet would reply, because the bonds of injustice are strengthened by force. All right, we're going to do this one more time. I feel you, my introverts. I do. But I'm asking you to take just a couple more minutes now. Turn again to your neighbor and share one brief thought on one of these three prompts. Where do you see the breach today? Two, which head of the monster do you feel called to confront? And three, what does repairing look like in your daily lives? Folks online, you can actually join in the same just by responding to one of those down in the comment sections. I'll be looking at those later today and responding. So, again, where do you see the breach today? Which head of the monster do you feel called to confront? Or what does repairing look like, being a repairer of the breach, look like in your daily life? Take 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll come back together again.
Well, for me, preparing it's donation spirit. That's about the only thing I claim.
What you can do about selling with the root tree, I don't care.
Time to start wrapping up those conversations. Okay. Let's jump back into this. So Isaiah says that when a community commits to breaking yokes, they become repairers of the breach. So a break in the wall, a place where protection has failed, a place where the community is essentially exposed. Repairers are the people who climb into that fracture and start rebuilding. They don't pretend like the wall's fine. Instead, they get to work. And y'all, I don't think it's a surprise to say the breach in our world is pretty wide. The breach between those who have shelter and those who have tents are swept away by city ordinances. The breach between those who have access to medical care and those who die waiting for it. The breach between those whose identities are affirmed and those whose identities are legislated into danger. The breach between those who are protected by law and those who are hunted by law. You see, Isaiah says, do not ignore this break. He says we have to attend to it. Dr. King understood that very deeply. He knew repair takes courage. Not the courage of like bravado, but the courage of even vulnerability. The courage to say unpopular truths. The courage to confront harmful systems. The courage to tell the story of love in a world that's committed to division. The fierce urgency of now, as Dr. King called it, is the conviction that justice cannot wait. You see, justice. Justice is not an accessory to faith. It is the center of it. Jesus did not avoid political conflict. He confronted the powers that harmed people. He protected the vulnerable. He announced a new way of life that refused to treat anyone in the world as someone who is disposable. You know, maybe the three-headed monster feels overwhelmed. And it should. It has had centuries to grow. And Isaiah does not ask us to defeat the monster alone. Instead, he asks us primarily to stop feeding the monster. Stop feeding racism. Instead, name it when you see it. Stop feeding poverty. Instead, advocate for policies that honor human dignity. Stop feeding militarism. Instead, refuse to believe that violence is the best thing we have to offer. Isaiah says that when we choose justice, your light shall rise in the darkness. Dr. King said the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, and we know that it bends because people who love courageously grab a hold of it and lean into it with all we have. So let us lean in together. Let us recommit to the fast that God chooses. Let us be repairers of the breach. Let us starve the monsters by feeding the people. And let us trust that healing will rise and light will break forth when justice becomes not our slogan, but our shared way of life. Amen.
This song were Dr. King's words. Right before he was killed at the Lorraine Hotel. Written by Patty Griffin. I went up to the mountain. Because you asked me to. I pulled on the moon when the sky was blue. I could see all around me. Everywhere. I could see all around me, everywhere. Sometimes I feel like I've never been nothing but tired. And I'll be to the day I spy. Sometimes I lay down. No more can I do. But then I go on again. Because you asked me to. So babe, I look down. Afraid I will fall in the sunshine. I see nothing at all. And I hear your sweet voice. Oh, come and let go. Come and let go. Telling me softly. You love me so. The peaceful valley, just over the mountain, the peaceful valley.
But sooner or later, it's there I will go. Sooner or later, it's there I will go.
I'm going to, in a moment, ask us to bow our heads together. As I always remind you, seeing this as a prayer, as a meditation, or just listen for the words that you need in this moment and grab hold of them. Let's bow our heads together. May we settle into this moment with open hands and open hearts. May we be reminded that love is never passive. Love invites us towards justice, towards courage, toward the kind of community where every person can breathe freely. May we feel the tug towards honesty, even when honesty is uncomfortable. May we feel the pull towards compassion, even when compassion asks something of us. May we feel the nudge towards repair, especially where the breaches are wide and the wounds are deep. And as we face the monsters of racism, poverty, and militarism, may we be moved towards clarity instead of denial, towards solidarity instead of silence, towards action instead of resignation. And may the words of the prophets echo in us, loosening what binds, softening what resists, stirring what has grown too quiet. And may we remember that every step towards justice is a step towards our own healing too. Not because we earned it, but because love keeps opening paths where we once only saw walls. Guide our attention, anchor our courage, deepen our compassion, and steady us enough to do the work that is ours to do. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. May your words, your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet. Mm-hmm.